Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Okay, there we go. Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. Today we're on episode 5 of Echo Chamber. We're talking about Pilgrim's Traverse. Now, me, Ryan, Soji here, those two that have been joining, or that are joining me today, have been going through it. We've only gotten up to floor 70, so we haven't completed anything, haven't tried Quantum or anything yet, but wanted to give our initial thoughts. We can't be on every single day and just, like, blitz through it. But we are giving it the old college try. We got hard stuck on... Well, we'll talk about that later. But say hello, fellas, in whatever
Yoshi
order.
P hello.
Has physically touched me. Fantastic.
Hi, chat.
Yo.
All right. So, yeah. Initial thoughts. How about you kick us off, Ryan? What are you thinking about the new Deep Dungeon here?
I kind of love it. Despite the hardships that we went through recently... with a certain boss, honestly, this has been way more fun, especially the more recent floors that we've been on. Interesting mob types and fights and encounters actually go on, so I don't know, I'm kind of excited for the future floors with it.
Yeah, for sure. How about you, Soji?
I absolutely love it. I've never been so unlucky in a dungeon, but
is that true?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I've never been that unlucky. Two luring and then mimic on the 1/4.
Best clip ever. I cannot wait to turn that into a short. It was so freaking funny.
Oh no.
Me just following you around as the bomb guy and like, I'm gonna keep Soji safe. I'm not gonna do anything. Luring trap. Mimic. Like I'm gonna stick by you, buddy. It's okay.
It's been really, really good though. Every deep dungeon they've released has just been getting better and better. I could not stand Palace of the Dead. Heaven on High was great. Orthos was... Was it?
I haven't finished Heaven on High. I need to actually go through it because that one was actually pretty fun. With the they started introducing the... not what do they call them?
Yeah,
the instances.
Aetherites?
Yeah. Well, whatever, like being able to summon different summons.
Yeah, it's like Ifrit, Garuda... Titan, I think there was one more. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were cool.
Yeah, Orthos was hard, though. Orthos took a lot of... that kept us on our toes.
We got beaten down so many times, and then we had to start all over. Like, yeah. The checkpoint system is really, really nice.
That's what I wanted to go into next, is that I actually appreciate the checkpoint system because it's not as defeating. Like, I understand allowing certain content to be punishing. I'm not anti-punishment. Giggity. But I don't know, like I'm actually excited to go back in. Like I'm looking forward to trying again every time because we don't have to do the trudge to get to the fun part. You know what I mean? Like we can choose where we want to go and what we want to prog, what we want to do. And it allows, like I was saying before, it allows the fights to be more interesting because it's you can die, you can prog. Like it's you're spending maybe 15 minutes getting back to a fight just to prog it again, which is fine with me, but like it hasn't dampened my will to go into it. What are you saying?
Yeah, like taking 2 hours to get just to, I think, like Administrator and Orthos, that is just disheartening because you just get killed so quickly.
Yeah.
But with the checkpoints, like, we can bring new people in, we can cycle out people, we can try new compositions and not really have to worry too much about it.
That's great.
Right.
I didn't think about that. Like, we're not locked down quite as much from, oh, this comp isn't really working the way we thought it would.
You know, it could turn really bad in that, like, the difficult bosses, if they had those long checkpoints, would super suck. Like, I would hate how long it would take me to get past that Malak tender for 60 if we had to go from 31 to 60 every single time we wanted to. But that being said, I find that that boss is a lot harder than previous dungeon bosses, at least like the middle floors types. Like, they have multiple mechanics going on, not just to get out of the AoE.
Yeah.
With 60, if we could fight that boss like back to back to back, like without any kind of downtime, we would have it down probably within an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just kind of dumb. I cannot see that.
It's a lot going on. Yeah. It's very busy. But yeah, now they're allowed to do it now because it's not nearly as punishing to just start over. Like, I know we got there and then we died. And then I don't think we'd realize the checkpoint system. And Soji, I think, was just like, I'm done. we probably had like 30 minutes left that we could. And it was just like, I'm done. I'm like, yeah, I get that. But then we go back in like, oh, we can go in at 50. And it was like, oh, okay, that's not nearly as bad. And then we spent the next hour and a half just reprogging up to that fight. I think we tried them 5 different times yesterday before we learned it. It was
also on top of that.
Yeah.
Going in over and over again, getting to use the palms like we were kind of getting used to on like that 4th or 5th attempt.
Yeah.
That was actually quite fun. We were just like, no, just blow them. We just need to get past this floor now. We don't care. Use everything.
Yeah, we didn't feel like we had to hoard them quite as much. Like, yeah, some of the defensive ones we wanted to keep just in case. But yeah, having more freedom to use the tools at our disposal, right? It's actually pretty nice.
Oh, for sure.
There's a sick part of me that kind of wants me to have a deep dungeon that sort of threatens your palms, where like they're going to take them away, and so it encourages you to use them more quickly.
Yeah.
Like, because like, say like those invisible things that we saw, what if they could like steal your palms randomly attack?
That would be funny, dude.
Like, be like, well, I want to save this haste pomander for the boss fight, but I also don't want like Licky McGee over here to like steal it.
Yeah, like Camellios. Yeah, I know you're thinking Camellios.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, real quick, Aaron 14, thank you so much for the raid. Hope you guys are having fun or had a good stream. We were just talking about Pilgrim's Traverse right now. Thank you for hanging out. Feel free to chat wherever you are if you want to be on Twitch or YouTube. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, Camellios was exactly what I was going for with that idea. Just a bunch of little Camellios stealing your palm.
I
actually want to use them and not like save 3.
Yeah, I cannot emphasize how much I love that new enemy type. Like, it's creative, it's cool, it's funny. Like, there's I'm still like mad though. I'm standing perfectly still. Raya runs through on his tank, grabs everything, runs out. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm facing out, I'm about ready to move, and then yoink, he just jumps on me. The only thing that would be even funnier is if he had the toad ability, where the sticky tongue, where he brings you in.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
That would be so disruptive.
Yeah, it really would be.
You just get pulled into an AoE, like, from another mob. That'd be rough.
I like the kind of that they're not necessarily the biggest threat. You have to watch out, right? Like, they have a basic get away from them tactic. That's all you have to do. But like, fun to play with in that easy sense.
Yeah.
Like, stay on your toes. Keep your eye out. Not like, you know, dying to a monkey clap in the other room. Like,
right.
That shit kind of sucked.
Yeah. that was interesting. Maybe Lane says the gimme cat steals your pawmander. The pawmander.
I love that.
Get out.
That's a great idea. Maybe gimme cat show up and just like yoink it. Maybe you have to like kill it like it's a mini.
Or instead of like, since most of the stuff is like one shot kill, if it doesn't do damage but it steals a pawmander, like that would be
yes.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
I have a chance to steal your incense too.
Or the incense, yeah.
Yes. Oh, dude. Oh my god. I'd be so much madder if you got hit by shit then.
Oh, I know, right?
Dead body I could get back. That palm may not ever come back.
Every time Flores is a bigger version of the Yan. Oh my gosh.
We'd be on floor X9, 69, 59, whatever, and just fucking one of us gets hit and our bark bomb disappears. Like, right before that boss fight. Like, come on.
Never hear the end of it.
Please.
Just, really? You don't pay attention. How long have we been in here?
You know, we died in that AoE because we didn't have a bark bomb. Just saying.
Never let it go.
Never. Unless it was me, then we should let it go with me.
I would love to see, like, more trap variants, to be honest.
You know what I think they should bring back at some point? Remember in Wander's Palace, first one, they had the giant wandering Tonberry that you didn't kill, but it would hurt you if it caught up with you, so you like kind of had to be careful. I want those kind of enemies back. Like, not overdone, obviously, but I think Palace of the Dead would be a perfect option. So then you have to, like, it would add tension, right? Because right now it's like, okay, we've got a patroller, we're going to take that up before we move on to the next one so we don't get swarmed. But then you have like a big one, it's like, where do we go, where do we hide, where do we, which way is it going? I think that'd be interesting.
I would like that, if as long as it's not randomly on any of the floors, because some of those floor shapes are so messed up and finding the exit, having to run through him would be chaos. But if it was always on that sort of like linear type floor where he sort of just kind of kept pressing you to keep moving forward. Even if you had, like, a room full of monsters, right, you have to, like, press forward and not get caught by this. That would be kind of fun. I'm not sure. I'm not usually the hugest fan of timers, but a little pressure does bring up.
Or even maybe scary. Add something where it's, like, in a bush you can hide, or it provides the hidden effect or something like that, or a palmander that prevents it from seeing you, or it can't sense you with the protection of it.
You can make it sleepable.
A palmander that like stunts it for like a minute or 2 minutes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we have those rooms that are like 12 enemies and there just be no getting through that in time.
That's true. It's just, oh man. But yeah, so let's talk. Most of the bosses have been interesting. The first two were okay. It wasn't anything to write home about, really. Pretty simple to get through. But the third boss, the floor 30, the quote main story boss, right? The cardinal, whatever he was, actually kept us on our toes. Like, it wasn't necessarily difficult, but it was interesting, right? The one with the...
I definitely did call outs, yeah.
Yeah. The spinning size, the chasing AoEs, the ins, the outs. Like, it's just, it was mechanically interesting. And it had an interesting... This is a Thunder God type arena.
Yes. Like, that's the part I really like. It's like, I love the interesting arena types. They're fun. I don't like the boring old circles.
Yeah. As soon as the new version of Insatiable started playing, like, you knew shit was going to get real.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the new music has been insane.
Definitely have a great track list for this dungeon. Like, half of it's, like, Pulse. Then we have, like, what, Pandemonium music, and then... A lot of Endwalker stuff.
Yeah.
And piano mixes.
Yeah, it's been... I've been really digging the initial rewards going through it, like either from the sacks or things that we're going to be able to grind out for later on, you know? So far, I kind of looked into what's around the corner for Quantum. But yeah. We'll get to that in a second, because I wanted to get to the... See, floor 40 was the... I forget which boss was that.
It was the piss whale.
Oh, right.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Yeah.
Oh.
The golden shower whale. That was interesting. But then floor 50, the glamotender. That one was so hard visually to keep up with.
Yeah, 60 was the tender.
60,
right?
Sorry,
you're talking ancestral Malak tender. Yeah. Because 50 was the scorpion looking thing.
Yeah. So Reed, I skipped the ant lion. That one was actually interesting too, because that one was like, it took a second to figure out what the mechanic was. Because I wasn't paying attention to the debuff that we got in the sand. I just assumed you're in sand, you die.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing, oh, that's the knockback prevention.
So very reminiscent, right?
Yeah.
I remember being like, I'm like, I do not think I noticed that right off the bat. So she's like, yeah, the quicksand stops you from getting knocked back. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I noticed it when I went in. And then I was like, oh, I didn't get knocked back at all.
After I said that, I proceeded to get knocked back twice.
Oh, yeah, I know. I actually really like that part of that fight. Not very hard, not very difficult fight, but fun.
Yeah, another unique arena. Like, just stuff. Like, they're doing really well in the fight design. And it doesn't have to be, like, super challenging. Like, I want to be entertained playing the game. I don't quite understand what some people want when they complain about ease in a game. Like, and then they're like, what, somebody sent me a meme where it's like, hey, we want harder fights, just not higher damage, not higher health, not higher this, not more, like all the things that would make it harder. Then people start complaining, but they want harder stuff. It can't be too easy. I like the mechanically interesting fights. I think those are fun.
There's a lot of love put into them.
People who want it harder, because like there are people who have gone out and made those fights harder by just, you know, adding all those extra rules in order to like compete
and
play it more difficultly. So like the people who actually want it to be harder and then actually go play that, do it. Like that's just it. People who just complain about it wanting to be harder, like I'm like, you can be harder.
Yeah, self-imposed.
Like, I'm assuming that you want it harder because you already cleared it. Like, God forbid you start say like, oh, this content's too easy and you haven't cleared it.
Yeah.
Like,
so was that item that made the deep dungeon a lot harder? Because I don't remember.
Is there an item that makes it harder?
Are you talking about the quantum?
Yeah, the quantum.
It's multiple items.
It's the offerings.
Yeah, the offering. And you can like rank up to like rank 40, something like that for quantum.
Yeah, I think it's 40 of each. And we can each, like, all of us can contribute to it.
I looked it up. It's not exactly that. So one person, the host, has to give up all the materials to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you clear, which is when the materials actually get taken out of your inventory, is when you clear, apparently, then the host will get basically, like, double or triple the amount of sacks that the participants would get.
Oh.
So if it's like a level rank 40, the host gets about 14 and everyone else gets about 6. So, I mean, yeah, you can trade the materials to the host, but there is one person that is like the lead and they're going to get the most rewards.
Okay. Well, most of the stuff is tradable anyway, so that's something that groups can still work out amongst themselves. I think that's
I have a question about that, though, because if you're going to bring up the quantum bit, like I did some reading last night and it's a little hot right now. People are kind of pissed that the quantum doesn't have very good rewards. It's just sacks when you beat it.
Yeah,
even at rank 40, it's just more sacks.
It's the sacks and then a title.
You're right, and a title, yeah.
Which for some people is okay for a title, but I mean, we may as well talk about it now. It's I'm in agreement with Yoshi P where it's like having a scalable scalable form of content is a good idea. The way that they've done this deep dungeon is by far the best iteration they've done so far. But I don't mind multiple ways of gearing in the game. Like, as a raider, as somebody who likes the biggest challenges and stuff like that, I don't mind if there was, like, almost comparable, or even, depending on how hard the actual level 40 is, comparable, like, to Savage gear from that. Like, one, it patch cycles later, right? And allows people who don't have as big of friend groups to go in and, you know, get into content and stuff like that. I think they should, honestly. Like, having some gear, or I don't know about the weapon trade-ins, or if you can trade in the weapon and then you get some upgrade items from the harder content, and then, like, a mini relic where you upgrade it into something better over time. And just what the game is lacking right now, like, we talk about grinds all the time, you and me, Raya, especially. And what I like about grinds is that I want to be able to go into a game, play it, enjoy it, but work towards something and see progress towards what I want. The reason I didn't like this current relic right now, I liked the fate part of it because I like the random drops. Those are like little Easter eggs for me. Personally, it's my thing. I don't like synced content ever. I think they do it terribly. That jobs are not designed to be synced down. I hate it. I cannot stand it. So until they fix that, I'm not going to be happy with that ever. But overall, I like building up to things. And I think this is good content that allows you to build up. Like, already you've got a lot of items that for trade-ins and stuff that you can start farming and getting, and like lots of things, especially with Aether Arms, to build up to. But like, I think they just need more. And
I agree. Honestly, because we actually did just talk about this earlier, but because gearing is so not interesting in the game, I just don't give it that much attention because it's sort of just the standard, like, linear way you just power up. It's not this sort of like way you're playing differently. You're just literally doing straight power ups, just numerically. And just giving us different content to access basically the same gear. I have the same gear. I don't give a shit. Savage comes out first because Savage is like the showy one. It's the traditional showy. It's like the Christmas of like content, right? So you make sure that it's spectacle. And then you leak out your quantum, and then you leak out your whatever that dungeon's called, the four-man content for it. And they all get to have the same level of gear at the end of it. Now, the smaller stuff comes out later, right? And you can just wait for it, but you'll be at the same gear point eventually. I think that's completely fair.
Yeah, and I mean, like we were saying before, for anybody who's curious in the chat before this, we were just talking about, I was mentioning how I was frustrated with how, I mentioned it on stream too, where there's no real point to gearing aside from making the current tier easier, because as soon as you go into the next tier, just buy crafted gear, and it's better if you pentameld it, which is not that hard to do, nor is it that expensive, because there's nothing else to use gil in this game for. Anyway, so
if you're going into the raid tier, you made 7 friends, you can make one of them be a crafter, right?
Right.
One of them's gotta be a crafter. Get friendly, right?
Or target.
So, this could be a topic for like an entirely other, I know Shimada's got a list for me, but it's another podcast topic altogether, of like what could be the alternative to like making builds and stuff and the pros and cons of that. But yeah, currently like gear is not interesting. And one thing to build towards that could be fun is either having improvable gear. So you like find some gear that you're attached to or whatever, and then the next floors or the harder content or whatever you grind up towards loot or whatever that lets you upgrade it and maybe customize the stats or change something or maybe reroll stats. I know people didn't like that too much when I'm thinking a diadem, but that was like it was random rolled stats, but then you couldn't do anything with those stats. If you could reroll those stats, I think it would have been better. But
they also random rolled into more lines and you could get on raid gear, which is really weird.
Yeah, but see, like, that would be neat if you could like do something where you get the piece of raid gear, and then the more runs you do or something, you get another stat or I don't know. Just there's so many ways to make it more interesting than it is now, because it's just straight linear and there's no reason for them to, like, my feelings aren't going to be hurt for like, it's the same thing of people who want to grind out mounts and get the drop as soon as possible versus mm-hmm. me, who's like, I'm good with 99 totems, dude. I can't do this fight any more than 100 times or 50 times or whatever. I don't want to do this 300 times just for a whistle. Part of me wants
to. The thing is, it's like enjoying the fight. So that it goes back to that same thing you said of like, you enjoy the game. Like, extremes are one of my most fun part of the games because like, you don't have to have the intensity of raid, because raid you need to kind of be on, especially when you're progging. You need to be going. This is sort of like a chillax thing you do, but you have to maintain just enough to be able to keep, you know, the mechanics going. You know, so you have to tell people to shut up or whatever. It's a fun balance you get to play that's not super high tense.
Yeah,
and you just kind of get it done, or even with randoms, like you just learn how a random works, which is crazy. PFers are insane.
Yeah, right. I think it's just that because it's so RNG heavy, with like as much as I like RNG stuff, it's not nearly as much as I would like, or it's too much in extremes to wait for the whistle to drop, because it's whereas like having the totems, okay, that's a cool grind. I see the totem number going up. We've made progress. I'm feeling good that we made this progress. And then we hit the end, and then there's that release. But also the fights are fun. Like I won't give it that. I won't say that. It's just at a certain point you figure everything out. It's fight design. I still want them to make combat a little bit more interesting. But mechanically, I think fights have been doing really good this expansion in general.
Yeah, the fights have been great. It's just, I don't really care for raiding, and as like you guys were saying, the way that gear is handled and just gearing up, it's just not fun.
Yeah.
Well, there's just nothing to it. There doesn't take any skill to gear up. It's all the same steps. Super simple. A bunch of ways to get 10 level item levels under, you know, with the crafted gear to become super cheap a week after, right? Like that expensive crafted gear, it's only expensive for the first week, maybe two if it's real fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, then it gets like dirt cheap, and anyone can buy them. I was buying the stuff when heaven was actually hard to craft. So like, it's really honestly not bad. It's just there's just nothing to it. But I'm glad that they're at least putting effort into something else. So it's not like they're being like, oh, dropping the ball all over the place. No, they just kind of ignored our progression as a character in terms of power scaling. They just like make everyone linear. But they made the content itself you actually play more fun. Yeah.
It's more engaging.
And I'm actually okay with that.
I would honestly prefer them fine-tune stuff that we've had. Because I think another thing that Yoshi-P was saying is that they've been kind of coasting. Like, this is just the way that we do it kind of a thing. But then they give us a bunch of extra stuff that they end up dropping. So I'd kind of want them to, hey, don't do any more extra stuff until you figure out how to make what we're already doing.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Interesting, you know what I mean? Like, put the resources there. But I like they're making good. They're making good. I think this is definitely a step in the right direction. They just need to. I'm almost wanting to hold off on Quantum, because I think they will see all this feedback and be like, okay, we'll give you some better rewards.
Well, the four-man content that got better things after enough people started doing it. They get gear now, right? I believe they can get an upgrade piece if they beat the Savage to get a raid level weapon, because you can upgrade the tombstone weapons now 5 additional item levels with
for the Criterion.
For the Criterion, yeah. So the Criterion comes out later, but like that's not how it started with it. That was added to it.
Yeah.
And same thing could happen with Quantum. You know, I mean, like, if you really want a deep dungeon grind, I mean, go for it. I mean, even try Quantum or any solo mode. I'm not sure if Quantum's possible solo.
No idea. we'll see when we get there. But I mean, deep dungeon, the way that they've done it now, and if they keep refining it, please don't drop the ball on it. Just please keep caring for it. But if they keep refining it and they keep doing this, then it's like so much wrapped into one. It's leveling. It's gear. It could be gearing. It's glam. It's like it's got like multiple things to progress towards or with in one thing of content, which is like the really good mileage for the amount of work that they're putting into it. There was a world race for Solo Quantum. Okay, well, I guess.
Awesome.
I want to see how that played out.
That's.
I don't think everyone had as much trouble in the Malik tender as we did.
Maybe not. That was I had a really hard time. Like I kind of started to see it, but even on our clear, I was like, oh nope, this is wrong. I didn't go the right way. Just wasn't clicking.
I take a very clear position on that fight in that I did not understand it and I didn't like it simply because I didn't understand how to get through it and we still beat it. And I'm like, I honestly think it's a good fight. I can't see the spot. I don't know why the spot seems so invisible as soon as they start running around.
Yeah, it gets like, it's frustrating.
Go. See, I find the rotating one a lot easier than the first instance of Branch Out where it's just the lines.
Yeah, there's one pattern of lines. I still can't figure out how to actually get to safety. I still get hit every time. It's that pattern I described. It's just the way it comes out.
Yeah. but as far as like the difficulty of Quantum, I think it's really cool though. Sorry, the people in chat are talking about it here. I think it's interesting that what would you say, Raya? That it's the offerings are not consumed unless you beat it.
That's what I read.
Not the approach that they took with Forked Tower. So I'm glad that they learned from that, because that was you wiped. Okay, bye. Thanks.
Okay, you mentioned Forked Tower. Fuck Forked Tower, by the way. I just have to say fuck Forked Tower. It's not. I've never even been in it. That's the reason I fucking hate it. It's because I'm like, it's just impossible to get into.
Yeah.
It's this thing that you can't just queue into and like have fun and go to. No, you have to go find freaking 40 other people to go do this thing with. And then hopefully get an instance together so that way you can actually like get in. And then you have this whole like drama with other players, you know, getting in because, you know, they put in tickets too and get randomly chosen.
Yeah.
Crazy and stupid. Why was it not like Delibrum, which was perfect, by the way? I don't know if they I don't know if they didn't get the reviews, but Delibrum was great. Please repeat that. Not this fucking Forked Tower. Okay.
I think they made some adjustments to make it better, but yeah, on release it was just like, is this your first time designing a game? Like, what happened? You just forget? It's going back to what Jesse said.
You rip it out of 11? Like, what?
Yeah. This isn't that kind of game. No, it was like a whole new team, and they just didn't talk to any of the previous developers on how fights were designed and content was done in the game. Just like, yeah, we'll just make it super punishing for no reason. We finally made it through the Sabo tender, the Malik tender. So haven't perfected it yet. I still don't know. I want to go back in and like until we figure it out. After that, it was the. See, we've spent so much time on that one.
Coin counter.
It was the coin counter. That one was cool.
Yeah, the cool coin counter.
I don't know if that was the first time we've seen the I-beams do that kind of stuff, but I liked it not just being a pure line AoE. It was.
Yep.
You know, it started at a spot and then it went from one point to another, and then you had to pay attention to which point it was. Or what point it started on, and then dodge everything else while sitting in the. It was good. It was a really cool mechanic. Then the ins and outs. Raya saved us with his callouts. We were looking up guides just in case anybody's wondering. We didn't blind it because we didn't want to go through that again. But it was still fun even if we weren't blind to it. And then 70,
that coin counter was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun. The it kind of reminded me of, it was like E12 first phase where you had to kind of like group up and like move around the AoEs. Obviously, it's a much simplified version of that. But
yeah,
like, it's cool. I kind of see like a mini raid mechanic showing up in a fight like this.
Yeah, let me actually pull up here because I feel like that was the last boss that we did. So that would be the 71?
That was 70. That was the 70th floor.
Yep.
Okay, the Malik tender was the 60. Okay, that's where I was getting screwed up. Because we kept starting on 50, and then we had to get to 60, and then the coin counter on 70. All right, cool. Yeah,
I would have been so mad if the 70 fight was as difficult as the 60 fight for us, because having to go through the 60 fight that many more times would have been... aggravating.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pressure there.
Yeah. We'll see how floor boss. This is 70. This should be 80, right? The profanity, the Coral Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Coral Regina.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people will like going back and doing the first phase over and over again because there's checkpoint or whatever. I don't know. I always like the checkpoints even in raid fights. It's cool with me. First phase, 8 minutes. I'm down with it. Fine by me. But yeah, no, it's... So I don't know. Maybe some people want to do the run back. Give you your opportunity to redo the fight more and learn it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like the checkpoints let you do that. Right, you go through, you can start on it. If you want to learn a fight a little bit more, you can start on 50 or 30 or whatever. But that's such a good system. It's they only dropped the ball really on the rewards for Quantum, it seems, because the rest of it seems really, really cool.
Only some people are mad about it. I think a lot of people, myself included, kind of just knew it wasn't going to be an reward, right? Like it wasn't gonna be something huge. It was gonna be something small. I assume the title, maybe you get like, I don't know, free weapon out of your aether pool without having to delete it or something. But sacks makes sense. Like that's just kind of sounds like what they would do first time of content.
Yeah. But they've been pretty on it lately with taking feedback with Forked Tower. At least what I've heard from is a content creator called Renon. Who's been going over that kind of stuff and whatnot. So I think that they fixed a lot of the complaints from that. So, and they've given stuff to Criterion. So I think it's just a matter of time. I'm just going to hang tight on it because I don't care that much about... Like, I want to do cool content, but I want loot. That's why I play. Mm-hmm. You know, I want something out of it.
Now, is... Quantum, is it just like stat inflation, or is there like actual new mechanics introduced?
I don't.
New mechanic.
I think it's because they said it gets to ultimate levels of difficulty.
Yep.
So yeah,
there are certain points that it gets mechanics at. I think it's like 20 and 30. It's like mechanic levels it can go at. Haro was talking about that. You kind of plan to learn the fight for the first 10 floors, I think, and then you start getting new mechanics every 10 or so.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'd be... It sounds like something, though, that would be fun to, like, prog for a bit. I don't mind getting the sacks, because there's some stuff in there that are cool. I don't think any of the mounts really speak to me this time around. They get some decent... I thought they would have... Like, they have these accessories, right, that look really cool. I was watching somebody's video, and they were like... I don't know. I like these. I'm gay, but I'm not fashion gay, so I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I haven't seen any accessories. That's cool accessories would be really nice to add to the glamour system.
They look very... The comparison they made anyway, and I agreed, was the Lord of the Rings elves. Very like opaline and curvy, silver looking. They're very elaborate.
Love that.
So I thought it was cool. So there's that. I thought it would be cool if they had gear that like made the traverse specific buffs. That would be neat. Kind of like how they did in Bazia, where that gear you got boost for that.
Also, like what they've been doing in Cosmic, tools come with bonuses to the currency you get while being in Cosmo.
Yes.
The relic tools.
Yes.
Like that would actually be super sick. To have like stuff that would give you bonuses like passively, like kind of like the roguelites do nowadays, where you get stuff, it makes it so each run afterwards just becomes more worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with Soulstone Survivors fresh in our mind right now.
I love that game. Jack, wait, you contacted me after I came like a couple days off of like a 120-hour binge of it. Like crazy. I got addicted to it for a short period of time. It was very fun. Very cool way to do a roguelite, and they just keep coming up with more characters and more weapons.
I'd found some mobile game versions, but it was monetized like a mobile game, right? So I didn't want to get too much into it because I like paying for something and then playing to unlock stuff. I like the way that Soulstone Survivors does it. But yeah, so then I realized, I think when they sent me the code for it, they compared it to Path of Exile, And I was like, okay, I don't really want to pick up another, like, Path of Exile is like a big commitment to try and figure out stuff. So I'm not into it. So then I saw somebody else playing it, and then I was like, I feel like trying this out again. And it was not that as the Vampire Survivor type thing. And yeah, anyway, not the topic of this.
Yeah, like, but, oh, right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I could go on forever.
I know. I was like, me too. Cause I was having a lot of fun doing like different builds and whatnot. I was like, this is awesome. But, yeah, let's see what else here. I didn't have like, we haven't gotten like through the whole thing. Are there any rewards that you guys are looking forward to?
What is even in the sacks? I'm doing this to tell people I did it. Like, that's why I'm doing, honestly, like, I'm not going to be really real with you here. The rewards are kind of secondary. There's no mount I really desperately want. I don't need any of the weapons or gear. I just want to tell people I did it all because it sounds cool. And I maybe want to tell people that I did Quantum 40. You know what I mean? Like, just depends on how eager I get.
I was actually looking at the contents of the sacks just before you guys were talking about this. Nothing really stands out. It's a lot of, like, Hades gear, Titania gear.
The Hades weapons are very cool, though.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Those are good looking ones. It's not like getting fucking emerald ones in your in your bag.
Yeah, I think they have the emerald and the Hades and Hydaelyn, I think was another set of
those
weapons.
Are good looking weapons,
so that'd be cool. But yeah, nothing that I'm really gunning for. Nothing has beaten Black Pegasus for me as far as a mount drop. From Palace of the Dead. That's why I grinded that out. I didn't care about floor 100. I just wanted the Black Pegasus.
If you could get an exclusive sack when you beat Quantum 40 that only has like all of the highest tier shit in it, that would be pretty sick. Just like one sack drop, like maybe even just goes to the leader too, and it's a sack that has like the four mounts in it and like the really expensive hard to get music, right? Cause Like that's the only five items you'll have, so you're like guaranteed to get one really awesome thing when you want to. That'd be a pretty sick reward.
Yeah, high tier loot table. That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. There's barding, right? The frog barding, or the fwath barding, for your chocobo. Because there's a chandelier mount that I think you get after getting all the accessories. It's part of the achievement. You have the like that dog lion that for the Sin Eater, that's a mount now. The pride plant and the floor 20, I want to say, boss, the Forgiven Mimicry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just looked up the fucking Pilgrim Traverse mounts. Oh yeah, the pride guy. That pride guy is actually pretty cool. I do like him. That is the ugliest chocobo barding I've ever seen, and there are some bad ones out there.
But that Omega reskin looked really good.
Yeah.
I want that as a mount.
Yeah.
So those are from that one's from the silvered sack, I think. But it's not terrible. Again, I think that they've got a good, foundation. Mm-hmm. To make some cool stuff with this. I'm sure there are going to be some people that complain, right? If they added ways to get gear, like some people are going to be like, oh, it's invalidating my efforts. Like, no, dude, it's like super late into the development cycle or into the patches. It's, you know, we're 2-3 months done with Savage right now, the latest tier, and we do it blind. Like, and most people don't, you know? Mm-hmm. So most people that are getting that gear are getting it done 1 month before us, at least.
At least, yeah.
You know? So it's just, get one, make more interesting gear, and then two, like, give more people cool gear.
Give us some motive to do this stuff. That's what I want. I just want motive to do it. Like, any reason. Like, same raid gear. I don't care. The raid gear's so boring anyways. I don't even pay attention to it. Who cares how good the raid gear is? It made my numbers go up more. I did it purely to, honestly, to tell people that I did it. That's why I want the mount.
Yeah. It's
like, the gear is secondary.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I got my piece of gear. Check that box off. Glam over it immediately. And move on to the next
week. Especially these ones. Damn.
Yeah. I haven't been excited for any pieces of gear. Like, was it the Ascension? It was the tier before that with, the fire on the gear.
Yes. I was just thinking about that one, too. With the crosses and the fire.
That was bad. With the chains.
Sick. Every weapon out of there was just dripping with awesome.
Yeah. Those were fantastic. And then
I would love more of that.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I have no idea what's taking up their development time, what they're spreading themselves out resource wise with, but like, put more people on more gear, because somebody brought up like, oh, you know, every month or two the cash shop gets more stuff, but then we get new content and it's like, here's a few mounts of models that are already in the game and a title. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you guys can do a little better on that. You guys can, you know, make cooler in-game stuff that we can earn.
I mean, I want a hard grind to come back. I wanted this relic weapon to be a really terrible relic weapon to get it. I want them to go back to those days of just be like, I made one and I'm just never doing it again. That was the worst thing ever. Like, I want that back. And it's just like, do it once and then you're free to go. And every 1500, you get a free weapon upgrade. It's like...
Yeah.
No, I like you got two of your weapons done. Damn, that's amazing. Like that's way more fun.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you more of like the bragging rights for it. It feels better to get something that people can't easily get. And I've said it before. I think some of the player bases are lately, or at least the ones that they're catering to, are kind of touristy. You know, where they kind of come in here and they expect it to be a free-to-play mobile game type thing where they just get their login rewards and do a couple dailies and then log out. And if they don't, if they have to put any sort of effort towards the reward whatsoever, they start complaining and don't want to do it. It's like, fine, go away.
Any reward too. Like either like cosmetics and like mounts and things. Like, let us have really cool shit that's like maybe not gear progress if that's what's making you mad. Let it be like cool mounts, and then, you know, we have that be a difficult grind. But even then, they're doing that with the extremes, making it two totems every single drop now. And it's like, you're just taking away the, like, part of the value of what we're, like, working toward.
Yeah, I hate two totems for
a
fight.
I need that carrot.
Yeah, no, I get
it. It's like the carrot's within arm's reach now, you know what I mean? It's like, this is so much less fun.
Yeah, I don't like talking about WoW on a Final Fantasy 14 thing, but
rub their noses in.
There's just way too many ways to gear up in WoW, which is great. Like, you can do PvP, you can do Mythic Plus dungeons, which are like time trials with modifiers, raiding, world questing. There's just so many ways just to gear up, and it lets it makes it more accessible for players to go into like a raid or a high end content. Whereas this is all very streamlined. You have to do your tome grind, and then you got to do raids.
Well, there's that thing that you have to, like, with when it comes to WoW and getting into a raid, you have to have, like, you know, DPS, which is legal to be tracked there, right? Like, you know, you're allowed to track it, at least you used to be in WoW. And that's how you determine if your gear was good and if your skill was good, right? But we don't have DPS meters in this game, so we have to go based upon a standard. And we have to have item level, right? But, like... WoW isn't restricted by that. They get to have all the really cool effects, like accessories that like actually like give you buffs whenever you crit or whatever. Like things like that is super cool and adds a lot of cool math to your PS.
That's where I go towards the idea that balance is still important. You can't be forgotten, but I'd prefer cool stuff and fun to be prioritized above it. Like the baseline should clear everything. Like no build or like... if you've got a bad build, then that's your fault, right? But like, intended builds, everything, every job, every combination, every party should be able to complete the content. But if certain ones end up being a little bit stronger than everything else, that's okay. Like, you're not being forced to do one thing or the other with diversity. It's just a matter of, like, you get more ways to express your gameplay or have a play style or lean into certain effects. But I don't know. I'm hoping that they test the waters a little bit moving forward, because that way it gets a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how Monster Hunter is. It's not an MMO. You go ahead, Ray.
I was just saying, like, that would be nice, you know, to be able to have more character development in it. But, like, yeah, even if we did end up living in a world where, like, the two MMOs you play are WoW and 14, and in 14, you get to do the most amazing fights ever. They're super fun. They have all these great mechanics. You get to learn all sorts of cool things and really work with teamwork, whether you do it as a two-man or a solo 2, 4, or 8-man content, or even 24 to 40, you get to do really cool fights. Yeah. Wherein, WoW, you get really cool character development. Your gearing is really exciting because you can get it from all these different places. All your gear pieces do cool things. It makes, you know, the balance a lot more shaky, but it does make your character much more interesting. And if we lived in that world, honestly, I'd be kind of fine with it. You know, one game is just more interesting gearing. The other game is more interesting fighting, which is basically the two things we do in this game.
Yeah.
I will say, well, actually has stepped up the raid encounters, but it's just because there's so many raid bosses, like, the fights go a lot quicker. Like, a boss in 14 can take you, like, 20 minutes, whereas in WoW it would take you, like, 8 minutes.
I'm not really trying to hate on WoW with this. It's mostly just sort of, like, just trying to give a dichotomy of what could be. You know what I mean? This is not to, like, downplay on WoW's raids. I'm sure they're great. It's just sort of, like, if you look at the two things that maybe they focus all of their efforts or resources on, all that massive amount of money they have, where do they put it?
Yeah.
In their pocket.
Yeah, right? Different conversation.
It'll be interesting to see what they do once they take away all the add-ons, because that's a whole other conversation for that. But
that's wild. I don't even think I have enough knowledge to figure out what that's going to be.
I think that was just weak auras that was dealt with, which is something that really helps with raid mechanics and just overall mechanics of the game itself. But we're getting off topic with that. Yeah.
But for the Traverse, anything else you guys wanted to say? If not, I think we covered most of the stuff. We'll come back to it once we actually do the quantum and stuff and try that out. But I wanted to give first thoughts because everybody's been asking. I've heard a lot of good things from just the actual going through the Traverse and the design and whatnot, and people curious about what we thought. So I wanted to do this and let people know.
Yeah. It's fantastic. If you haven't tried it but you're curious about it, just go into it. Just have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, and if you figure out a trick to do the 460 boss, just, like, DM me somewhere. I just want to know. Like, if you're just be like, look for the little guy that has, like, the flower on his head or something like that. Like, I don't know. Send it to me. I just can't believe a fight would be that hard.
Yeah. So send Ryzenmelt for the Malak Tender fight. But yeah, that one we're gonna remember that one for a while. That one that's some deep-seated trauma. I've never wiped that many times to a freaking deep dungeon boss.
First time, yeah, we disrespected a little bit. That's fine, that's on us. Second time, whoa, okay, you came with gloves. Third time, okay, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll keep this a shorter one. Yeah, thank you everybody else for tuning in as well. So as always, you can make sure to support the channel through Patreon, all that stuff. Use the code NEST for our GamerSup stuff, and check out the merch on the Fourth Wall Shop. You can find that in the link in any of the descriptions of the recent videos. Also, if you're watching the videos, check out the new thumbnails. Been trying to make a more consistent style lately, and I'm going to have new art pretty soon for all the bosses. And hopefully you guys enjoy that. So, thank you all for hanging out. Hope you have a great rest of the night. God bless you all, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having us.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all.